The reason the song tells us to get up is because when you knock down, you don't want to get up. You keep getting knocked down. You know what? If you pay attention to really to fighters who are staying to fight for a while, they get knocked down from time to time. They take a pretty good hit. The best ones get back up. They may see three of you. Makes you fight even harder. The devil would love for nothing more than to keep knocking you down and you just say, you know what, I quit. Sometimes you need to be told, get up. I love how, I think even back here on the list, it says get up with an exclamation point. It's not a request. It's a demand. Get up. You know, we've all, if you've ever watched anybody in a fight, you know, I got to watch my brother, as it was 10 years ago today. He decided he wanted to try MMA. My little brother, I said, what on earth would possess, he was the docile of us all. I said, what would possess you to want to get in the ring with somebody who wants to kill you? I think the MMA, they got to be about half touched. But he got in the ring. And unfortunately for him, the guy knew boxing better than he did. Caught him with a right hook. He said, I'm not going to lie, I saw stars. He said, I didn't know where I was, who I was, or what I was doing. And the guy got him to the floor and had him in a chokehold. And I'm down here with JD and we're yelling, get up, get up, get up. Now he tapped out to save himself being able to fight again. But, folks, the angels, you know, the Bible talks about such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I know there's been people that tell us that that basically we're in a giant stadium and all the saints that have gone on before are watching us. I can't quite, that's kind of weird. God's a voyeur? You got all these voyeurs up in heaven watching everything I do? When I mess up? When I do good things? Great. I don't believe that. I believe what it's talking about is we have a cloud of witnesses, just like every Marine that went before me. The spirit that was in them is in me, and the spirit that was in these saints is in me. And that spirit says, get up, fight, don't lay down. You got to do the uncomfortable things. You got to do the things you don't want to do. You know what was so would have been so great today? I was sleeping so good. Nice and warm, toasty. It would have been great to have slept in, wouldn't it? To have stayed in bed, just all snuggled up. And that's coming from your preacher. But no, we got up. We got up for ourselves. Listen, Bible tells us to love ourselves, but not more than we should. Okay? That's a whole other message, but you got to love yourself enough to get in here. Here. This is as much for you. And then, guess what? When 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, we all start getting together, we stir up love. And folks, love is what we run on. So if we're not going to get up for other people, get up for yourself. Fight for yourself. You know, they always say that if you're on an airplane and you're traveling with children, if they said the oxygen mask falls, put it on yourself first. Then take care of your children. The church is unfortunately taught us to drain ourselves and keep taking care of everybody else all the time and never put back. Well, there's a time we actually have to put back. We have to get up. We have to take care of us. Doesn't mean we stop doing what we're doing. It just means we do take care of ourselves. Oh, I just can't. I just don't have time. I got to be going here. You know, I'm tired of preachers with jet airplanes telling me they don't have time to do something. For crying out loud. You own the jet. You tell the pilot when to leave. Do what you got to do. Oh, by the way, you don't have to preach 500 times a year. That's all you. It's not God telling you to do this. It's not God telling you to get yourself so worn out. You know, I know a few of you in here, you take in the stray puppies. Stray cats. Anybody? I'm not going to ask if anybody's been guilty of being the crazy cat lady that feeds all the neighborhood stray cats. Your neighbors know who you are. But you want to help somebody. But you know what? You can't keep giving it all. Sometimes you got to get back. You got to get up for you. You got to take care of what's yours first. I'll be honest with you. If everybody, especially in the body of Christ, would understand, if I start taking care of my family, if I take care of me, that means there's going to be less for other people to have to take care of. But what we want to do is we want to bring everything here and just leave it and not say, well, I'm not going to do anything about it. It's us. We take care of us. We take care of what we've got to do. And God will take care of the rest. Don't let religion tell you that you just got to keep going until you fall apart. That's not God. That is not God. I've learned that the hard way the last couple years. I had to stop. I had to do something I like to do from time to time instead of what I think I have to do. So, like I said, I don't preach to you because I don't understand. I preach to you because I'm in the same boat with you. I'm not up here on some platform. If I am on a platform in your life, make sure you're not bowing down to it. I'll get knocked off of it. Either that or I'll jump off of it. Phil will knock me off. Better be careful. I'm 200 pounds now. I'm harder to push over. That's the only good thing about having a little extra weight. But I'm still not big. I've still got a low center of gravity. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, if you can't joke about some things, what are you going to do? You're going to be offended is what you're going to be all your life. Don't be offended. Because I was going to say if anybody's lost 15 pounds, I found them. But, you know, but if you're trying to lose 15 pounds, you don't want me to give them back. So I get that. Praise God. Let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, you are the Lord of the hosts. You're the Lord of the harvest. So, Father, you are everything. You are our everything. Father, and in that, we honor you today with our tithes and with our offerings, our first fruits, Lord God, and the above and beyond. Lord, I bless that the seed. I bless the tithe. I bless it all, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. That one's mine. Okay. Well, we're continuing on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Seems like it's been a while. It's because it is. You could read these scriptures through in, 30 seconds? I've read them for the last 30 years. Never got anything out of it. Well, love doesn't do this. Love doesn't do this. Love does this. Love does this. Love does that. Love doesn't do this. Okay, I get some of that, and I get it. But I didn't. I thought I understood. And there's so much more to God's word. That's why the Bible tells us to get in and study it. And we actually have to get in and study to know what our word, what our Bible says. It means you have to break it down. You have to know what translation. Words don't always translate across and mean the same thing. Sometimes we have to find the closest word that matches. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll start in verse 4 again. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, we were on actually talking about love is not provoked. Love does not provoke. Provoke. Now, I did talk a little bit about this last week, I know, but this is where I feel the Lord wants me to come back to and pick up. Provoke means to incite, used in the New Testament of rousing or invoking anger or indignation. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. It's funny, Paul addressed the fathers on this. In Ephesians, he said, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Anger, wrath, means intense rage, an uncontrollable force, extreme passion. There's a fine line between motivating somebody and discouraging somebody. Our drill instructors, Army, Marines, they're all the same on what they're supposed to do. They're to tear you down. They're to get your attention. They're there to change who you are into what they want you to be. Coaches, it's the same way. You got to get that athlete to do what you want them to do. You probably see more in them than their own parents see or what they can see. But there's a fine line between totally tearing somebody down and discouraging them. One thing our drill instructors did that nobody even paid attention to, I'm a part of a Marine veteran site on Facebook, and everybody's just going on like, y'all, you need to subjectively look at boot camp again and rethink about everything you thought. Oh, all they did was scream, yelled, cussed, hit us, da-da-da-da-da. I will lay $100 on it. At some point, they motivated you. They encouraged you. You just didn't hear it because you were stuck. I mean, come on. How many 18, 19-year-old boys are going to go home from mommy? Oh, baby, she's bawling all over. Oh, what they're going to do to my baby? Oh. And you get on the bus, and the guy says, welcome to Parris Island, South Carolina. This is my island. This is my bus. Get off my bus. And you just woke up. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Your world just changed. All you want to do is, I'm going to go back to mommy. She loves me. First thing our senior drill instructor said is, I am now your mother. That weapon hanging on the end of your rack is now your girlfriend. Angela hung on the end of my rack. They tore us down. But unbeknownst to us, you don't think about it until you can sit down and look objectively back at it. They built us up at the same time. They encouraged us. We just didn't pick up on it because all we heard was the screaming and the yelling. That's all we ever heard. But at night, they had a say chance before we got to go to bed. That motivated us. Everything we just went through that bit. When we went to bed that night and we closed our eyes, the last thing that was on our minds is we were rough, tough United States Marine Corps recruits. Not everything the drill instructors had just told us we were the whole day. The last thing we went to bed with, the last thing on our mind was that. See, fathers, you know, we have a, you know, mothers too. There's a role we have to play. We have to bring up our children. We have to raise them to become adults, not 18-year-old babies. I'll have to admit, my generation dropped the ball. Generation X dropped the ball. They didn't train their children to become adults. They just didn't want to deal with it. I'll just let my kid do whatever they want. There's a difference between letting your child do what they want and controlling that. And the time to start is when they're little. Honestly, you should not have to spank a 13-year-old. You should not. If you do, there's something wrong with you, in my book. You failed. You dropped the ball somewhere. You didn't care enough to actually train them. By the way, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go. Doesn't mean to take a stick and beat them all the time. I'm not saying I'm perfect, okay? I got three boys sitting back there. They're all looking at me. By no means am I perfect. But when I have screwed up, I have gone to them. And I repented of screwing up. When I determined that I was going to be different, my dad was different than his dad. And his dad was different than his dad. Not that my dad was such an awful dad. There were things he failed on. And in the process, I said, I want to change that. I want to be better than that. And that's what I want for those three boys. I want them better than me. And I want my grandchildren to be better than them. So when the Bible tells us not to provoke our children to anger, that means we should not push them so hard that we have a collision. What happens when a high front hits with a high pressure system hits with a low pressure system? I got a science gal, right? You got a storm, and there's one particular thing that comes out of those in particular. It's called a tornado. You get a warm front and a cold front, and whoo. The wind starts going like this. And God forbid you're in a place where three storms hit. Anybody seen the movie Perfect Storm? That's what happened to Nat. Three storms converged at one point, and the guy was stuck in a fishing boat. That's what happens, fathers, mothers, when we go in. I'm the boss all the time instead of figuring out the child, figuring out the storm that's brewing and guiding them. It's not saying that you can't use the authority. You need to operate in it appropriately. Figure it out. Well, I'm the boss and that's that. There's times I've had to say that. And then there's times I've listened to their reasoning. You can't listen to reason, you aren't much good. The Bible tells us, brothers, let us reason together. Come, let us reason. That's what's wrong with so many Christians today. Authority was abused. They don't know how to read the word. They don't understand the word because the word got twisted. And it creates a rage and an anger in people. And when that rage and anger starts to fuel, well, you know, we're watching a volcano explode right now. in the Philippines. That's what happens when pressure builds up. And the thing is, it hasn't really blown yet. That's just ash. If we as parents, as we as fathers, will know how to guide our children, we seek God first and know when to back down. You can be the big bull in the lot, so what? We're not animals. We have a capability of reasoning. There's a program going to be coming on seven continents, seven worlds, or something like that. It's on Discovery, I think it is. It's going to be showing, highlighting all the different things on all the different continents, the animal life. And there are two musk ox. Now, I don't know about you, but I always thought musk ox were these great big things like buffalo, you know, and they're woolly and hairy. Go to the Cabela's. I think it's up in Dundee. Musk ox are about that big. But these two musk ox charge each other, and they hit, and it's in slow motion, and you can just see the force. Both of their hind legs come off the ground, and that force just reverberates through their hair. That's what happens when a father provokes his children to anger. There's going to be a head-to-head. Doesn't matter if it's male or female. You're going to have a head-butting time. And I can't imagine that that does actually feel good. Maybe they got pea-sized brains. I don't know. But as fathers, we need to exercise love in all things. That means we always love our children. You may not be getting along right now. Well, you're the parent. Act like it. Fix it. Pray about it. Ask God how you can fix it. And then when it's brought up that you really screwed up and you know you screwed up, repent of it. Here's the thing with having your children as believers in your church. They're not just your children. They're your brother and your sister. Bible tells us if we have something, we need to go to them. I won't repent because I spanked my children. I felt one time that I crossed the line, and I never again spanked my children like that. I never went without a paddle, and it was always 3 swats. You can ask them. There's times I extended mercy. But once they got to where they understood the repercussions, I didn't have to do that anymore. And I understood that there's an age difference. In my house, there was somewhere along the line the fact that I was 4 years older than everybody got lost. And that was the minimum. There was 14 between the youngest. I'm 14. He's newborn. You need to discipline him. You need to start training him up. You've already trained me like that. We don't provoke our children to anger. It results in a storm. What kind of storm, you figure it out. It's not going to be pretty. Love thinks no evil. The word think. To put together with one's mind, to count, occupy oneself with reckonings or calculations. Love thinks no evil. So in other words, love is not sitting there calculating evil. So if you're right now trying to figure out how to get one over on somebody at work. Now, practical jokes are one thing. Or how you're going to mess over somebody, or how you're going to mess over your neighbor. Knock it off. That's not love. Evil means bad, worthless, externally. In other words, evil is the external manifestations. Of a soldier, the word evil means cowardly. To retreat. Backing up for just a second, when the Bible said not to discourage our children, discourage means without courage. Our children should be able to go out and face the world. You know what's wrong right now? Our children are discouraged. They have no courage to face the world. Oh, I'll just let the government take care of me. Government will never take care of me. I don't care how good the government seems. It will never take care of the people. Authority, power like that always corrupts. God tried to tell the Israelites, that's fine, you can reject me as your king. Here's what your king is going to do. He's going to tax you like crazy. He's going to take your best young men. He's going to take your prettiest girls. And he's going to take everything else. He's going to take so many of your cattle. You are not going to have the success. And what happened to Israel? Sure enough, Saul went in, took concubines, he took the young men for the army, started taking so many sheep and cattle and all this so he could feed that army, started taxing them so that they could fight the wars. Whereas before, anybody ever notice how God raised an army? Sent out a man, sent out a cry, and got everybody who was tired of being picked on. David had a following of men that were ragtag at best. But yet they were some of the fiercest fighters in Israel. Gideon, yeah, they raised an army of 20,000 volunteers right on the 20,000. Because they were tired of what was happening to them. I shudder to think of what this country is going to have to get to for people to get tired of what's happening. Before they first off start praying. Second off, start getting involved. Not everybody's called to be in authority of politics. And I think there should be term limits on everything. Every stinking thing. And no, you should not be entitled to a lifetime of retirement. But Christians need to get involved. The church doesn't. The organization called the church needs to keep its nose out of it because it can't even figure out what it believes yet. But believers need to be out there. I know Tim Abraham's running for commissioner. He's a Christian. I believe he can hear from God, can't you? And just so anybody knows, I'm not officially endorsing any candidates. Before anybody goes out, he's endorsing candidates. I'm just letting you know. But if you're praying on who to vote, sometimes you don't know their beliefs, do you? Sometimes you find out somebody was actually a Christian, but you listen to the wrong people. Well, if they're such a good Christian, can I see a good Christian, please? That means you pray an hour a day, you fast at least one day a week. You're in church every time the doors are open. You are never sick. You walk on water. You turn water to wine. You multiply the fish and the loaves. Because to be a Christian means to be Christ-like, so it means you need to be doing all that stuff. Show of hand, who's a perfect Christian? Oh, thank you. I like honesty. Yeah, and by the way, anybody not got a skeleton in their closet? Okay, just checking. You start shaking a house hard enough, the skeletons start rattling. Anyhow, going back to thinking evil. In 1 Corinthians 13:5, it's talking about an actively causing evil, in essence, hurtful or harmful things. This is what's happened in the church, folks. This has been allowed to go on for decades, even centuries, in this country and even in other churches. People getting bent out of shape because, well, so-and-so took my seat. That's my row. He's amening me. He's saying, go, Grandpa, go. That's my seat. Then you start back talking, bitter, talking about them. Well, you know what? I saw so-and-so down the road with somebody. It's not his wife. Now, that actually happened, and he didn't know it was my sister. It was Isaac. As you remember, years ago, my sister and I went down to the Dairy Queen, I think it was Connie's then. We'll call it the Dairy Queen. It's Grill and Chill now, but we were down there just getting some ice cream, talking, and Isaac went home to Joanne and said, I saw Pastor Art with some blonde. It's not his wife. It's my sister, man. That's gross. She's pretty. But you see, folks, and it was totally innocent. But how many people are out there maliciously looking for that? Well, I saw Pastor Art with some rough biker type guys. He's got to be one of the Hell's Angels. I actually had somebody say that. It was just three of us rode in to a Wendy's. Heard a guy say, well, the Hell's Angels are here. He didn't recognize me at first, so I knew him. I was like, dude, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, come on. I would welcome bikers. Oh, but Pastor, I'm scared of them. I'm scared of guys with long hair and denim jackets and stuff. I'm just so scared. Quit living in fear. You should be scared of the ones that got their hair all done up right and their lipstick on perfect and their eyeshadow on right and they wear three-piece suits all the time and they say all the right words. They're manipulating you. By the way, that goes for all the newscasters. Quit getting bent out of shape. Something comes up in Washington, you pray about it. Don't go, oh, we gotta do something about this. Well, what are you going to do? You going to run for office? Well, no. Then pray. Pray and vote. You may be bent out of shape about the impeachment proceedings. Nothing's coming from it. That's my heart. I don't feel one thing's going to come out of it. Not against the president. I don't care if you like him or not. As an individual, who knows? I might not like him. There's been a lot of preachers I've been with, a lot of ministers that I've got, world-class people. As a human being, I don't really care for them. But as a minister, they're anointed. And right now, the anointing's on him to lead this country. So whether you like him or not, you are required to pray for him and not pray for his removal. Well, he's getting us in a war with Iran. How dumb can you be and breathe oxygen? He didn't do that. He stood up to them. Anyhow, I'm getting a little political. I'm honestly just trying to deal with a subject that's tearing the church apart. People are getting so polarized on it that they forgot the church is called to pray. The church is called to be the representation of Christ on this earth. That's why things are happening. We're not doing our job. We're trying to get preachers to go run for Congress. Preacher, if you're called to preach, preach. Not in the office. You don't need to be there. You need to be in the pulpit. You need to be making an impact right here. Because you know what happens when you get in the pulpit or when you get in office? All those skeletons are coming out. Thinking on things no evil. It's a preoccupation on how to ensnare someone. Gee, I guess this is the perfect example. What's going on in Washington? They're focusing on how they can trap the president. We're focusing on how we can catch somebody doing something wrong that we're guilty of. But it's different, right? Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is the time of Noah. By the way, what did Jesus say the times would be like before he returned? Like this. That everybody's going to be seeking who they can trap. It's going to be evil, 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 evil all the time. Genesis 8:21. And the Lord smelled a smoothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy everything, every living thing as I have done. God repented of what he had done just for the sake of man. So people that say that, well, you know, this, and Christians, in my opinion, are some of the worst to blame on this. We are called to protect this earth as believers too. This is God's earth. What do you think Adam's job was? To lay around under a fruit tree sipping pina coladas all day? He said, here's my planet. Make it a garden. Make it a paradise. Because the rest of the world was chaotic. What happened is man started thinking about how to trap. Cain figured out how he was going to take care of Abel. I'll crush his skull. Just because God's not happy with me. Do you know why we discipline our children? We start training them when they're young? Right there. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, from his childhood. When they're babies, that's when you need to start. That's when you need to start teaching them about Jesus and God and love. You teach them about telling the truth. Because lies always get away from you. I don't care how smooth you think you are. You will get caught in your lie. If we train our children, they become functioning adults. And the thoughts that we have are not continually on evil. You know, I've seen the, most of you, if you've been on Facebook, you've seen the memes and stuff, and I've said it before. You have to actually teach a child to hate another person. You taught them to do that. If they hate black people, you taught them to do that. Well, I never confronted. No, 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 no. It was in your garage when you said it. Little ears heard what you said. And little mouths will tell what you said. My attitudes towards black people was from my parents before they got saved. Okay? Because I heard what was said. I seen what was done. Well, they didn't burn crosses. Well, no, they didn't. But it didn't matter. Because what happened was that started festering in me and it took a bigger hold. Remember, the things that you have can be amplified in your children. And I was quickly on my way to becoming a full-blown racist. So it is no wonder that when I got to Paris Island, that the first Marine drill instructor I ever met was the biggest black man I have ever met in my life, and he filled the door. And there was, they were dark green. We're all green. Dark green, light green. He was the biggest dark green Marine I'd ever seen. That man was so, I mean, his shoulders were like this. They had to have custom made his uniform. And then I get picked up by my drill instructors. Woohoo! Two dark green Marines. I'm on the front, my row to my left is a dark green recruit, a dark green recruit to my right. Okay? This little hillbilly's starting to feel a little uncomfortable. I only knew one black guy, period. And right now, I just got thrown into the mix. And then when I picked up with my training platoon, my senior drill instructor was a black man. God had to do some serious working. Some of my best friends during boot camp and during the fleet were dark green Marines. God began working and changing in me. But I had a roommate that was a racist. God got me out of there. Because he was really starting to affect me. And by the way, he was a backstabbing liar. But God took that from me. And then put me in a church that is totally... You figure up any combination of racial mixing, we had it. We had Vietnamese American. We had Japanese American. Anything where Marines had ever been, they came back. We had black and white couples. We had Mexican couples. We had Cubans. I mean, talk about racially diversified. And God had to teach me how to love them too. And I do. But before, I'd have been trying to plan evil. So all that stuff was taught. And like I said, not all that was taught. It was just a few things. And I took it further. That's why we have to be careful of what is in our imagination. Proverbs 6:18. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running into. Does anybody know what this passage of Scripture is talking about? There are six things the Lord hates. Yea, the seventh is an abomination. A heart that devises wicked plans is number three. A heart that is trying to plan evil against somebody, particularly somebody who's innocent. If you're trying to ensnare a criminal, they're the ones that's guilty. If you're trying to capture them. This is talking about setting somebody up to fail. I'm gonna trap Maggie. I'm going to set her up. I'm going to bring her to her knees. Yeah, that's evil. That's what he's talking about. God hates that. Maybe sometime I need to do a message on all that stuff. Who knows, maybe it'll be the next one. Romans chapter 1, verse 28-32. Let me get a drink of water real quick. Is it not on there? Would you throw it on there? And Matthew 15:16-20 if it's not on there. She might not have been able to read my little writing. I did that on purpose. Some of you teachers got students that do that. I did that on purpose. You send me home with homework? My brother did the same exact thing. We write as tiny as we could. Usually didn't work out well for me, but all right, 28-32. Okay, there we are. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who know the knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. By the way, I want to point out something. They knew God. I've told you the Bible's not written to the world. It's written to the church, the believers. He's talking about people who know God. Although they knew him, they did not like to retain him. It was not their desire. Well, I want to be all this. I want to plan evil against my neighbor. Why are you planning evil? Bible doesn't tell you to return evil for evil. Well, you got to fight fire with fire. No, you fight fire with water. Come on. You put more fire on it, you just headed to the fire. You use something opposite. The opposite of evil is good. You return good for evil. That's how you win. This is what Paul was talking about in Romans. That people that knew God turned their backs and they began planning and devising how to do more evil to people. Well, I'm going to start spreading lies about the rules. What did they already do? Yeah, I know the feeling. Some of you probably do. I know we've had people in here on village councils, different boards. People are going to lie because that's what they do. They're going to turn it, and it bothers me when the church starts acting like that. Stirring strife, stirring lies. Religious people love to do this. They don't know God, and that's what I will refer that to. They are religious. They do not know God. They do not like to retain what the Bible says God is. Because we know God is love. Well, everything we've been talking about is God. God does not provoke you to anger. It's his mercy that brings us to repentance. It wasn't him headbutting us. It was God's mercy that brought us back. We should extend that mercy. We should live in that mercy. But then there are times when there's discipline that happens. Matthew 15. So Jesus said, are you also still without... By the way, again, talking to the religious. Are you also without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. We have yet to understand that what's in our heart is what actually moves us. If you've got an evil heart, your evil heart will move you to do evil, to do wicked things. I just couldn't help myself. She was there, I was there, one thing led to another. Would you back that up to 19 for me? Murders, adulteries. You planned on it. You'd already made the way. You figured out how to get there. As I've told you before, there were several reasons I got rid of my motorcycle. But the number one reason I got rid of it was because of that second one down. Not that I'd committed adultery. But I will tell you right now, if you want to find guys or girls to ride on the back of your motorcycle, it's not hard. Everywhere I'd go, oh, hey, can I get a ride? No, I've given her a ride, her a ride, her a ride, and her a ride. That's it. My wife, my mother-in-law, and these two women. And that was it. But I had several women around in this town. Could you take me on a ride sometime? You're married. No. I got rid of it because it was laying a trap. The bike itself wasn't. It was the whole atmosphere. Because I was even changing. I said, you know what? I like riding, but what's happening isn't cool. And when somebody came to me and said, I had a dream. I saw your motorcycle. And it was mangled. And I saw your family crying. He said, I think you're going to wreck your motorcycle and get killed. I said, no, that ain't what that dream means. Because God had already been telling me. It's got to go. And after, it was the first motorcycle, she called my other woman. I said, well, we ain't spending no time together. It's because you've been spending time with your other woman. Point taken. But listen, folks, that's just one of those things. It could be anything. People, and women in particular, are attracted to men like that, and vice versa. Women will seek out those things. Some women seek out powerful men in politics, businessmen, preachers. That's why we have the policy. If there's a woman in my office, the door stays open and she's in it. And if it's something you want to keep down to DL and just want to feel comfortable one-on-one, the door stays open and she's sitting outside the door. If you got to talk any much more than that, forget it. Not going to have altar of lies being stirred. Because I've seen men brought down like that. And for me to ignore it would be evil. Because now I'm planning on failing. Just like if I kept the motorcycle, I was planning on failing because God had already told me. Like I said, it doesn't just have to be the motorcycle. It can be anything. When people have already started to make up their minds, they sink their teeth in and they go for it. Well, I just don't know how I ended up here. You made up your mind you were going to do it. I knew a man who got accused of having an affair with a woman at work. I knew the man. I said, that's a lie. That's a lie out of hell. He did not. Come to find out, he did. They never went all the way, but he met her at the hotel. Why? Why did it happen? Because she sought him out. She hunted him. And he chose not to fight. That's why I say, when I tell you to get up, you fight. Don't pretend it didn't happen. You get back up and you fight. You keep going. You know? If a kid misses a shot in basketball or gets fouled, shake it off, shake it off. Get it out of your mind. Don't focus on that and move on. Don't sit there and think, well, nobody saw me. Everybody saw you. Come on. Watching these, well, I will have to admit, I did watch the LSU and Clemson game. Now, personally, I was rooting for Clemson, but just because I don't like LSU, but that's it. But I will tell you, LSU deserved that win. They played hard. A quarterback who just a couple days before had just annihilated Ohio State couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. You know he wanted to blame his receivers, right? Isn't that what quarterbacks do? Why didn't you jump higher? I'm already jumping 10 feet in the air. Come on. The ball was 3 feet above my head. I messed up. I take that. but I'm not going to focus on it. See, I believe personally that Lawrence got focusing on his mess ups, and that's what shook him. He was a pretty good quarterback against Ohio State. We couldn't stop him from running. They did. That's what happens when you make one mistake and you focus on it. They pile up and they pile up and they pile up. As believers, we make one mistake and it piles up. Because instead of saying, Jesus, forgive me, and getting on with your life, we decide we take the old religious way and we keep flogging ourselves every day about it. I messed up, Lord, I messed up. You know what he said? I don't remember anymore. He said, I cast that as far as the east is from the west. And if you don't understand it, they never meet. You're always either going east or you're always going west. You will never hit a line where you are going the other direction. North and south, they'll change directions on you, but not east and west. He says, you'll never see it again. But here is an amazing thing that happens, and I'll wrap up here with that. When God casts our sins east to the west, they never meet. And as long as we're like that, do you know what happens when you go from the west to the east? You get to see a new day. You can start off in one day. I saw the sun rise twice. Because it hadn't totally I'd seen it rise, and it was on its way up by the time I got to Michigan. You go back the other direction, time changes. The day changes. It's a new day. Don't let what you did yesterday hold you down. Why am I thinking about this? It's because it's your natural mind. You need to crucify that flesh. Well, I don't want to do the things that God says to do. Well, you're not going to have the things God has promised. People want everything God has, but they don't want to do what God said. Well, that's Old Testament stuff. It's not law. I do what God says to do in my life for me. Your life may be different. The path God has you on, totally different. I praise God. Some of you didn't have to go to boot camp to change. But you know, honestly, some of you have been through hell. Here. And you're learning. You're holding on. It doesn't mean that we stop trusting God. It doesn't mean we never learn about God. We just keep moving. We keep growing. We keep getting stronger. God is not waiting to keep bringing it back on you and beating you with it. That's us. We're the ones that remember that garbage, right? You can remember when somebody wronged you. You probably remember the day. You can remember the hour. You can remember, I bet some of you can remember your greatest failings. I know I can. I don't concentrate on them. I remember them. They only serve to remind me that they're going to fall powerless. I believe it was the Imperials way back in the day said, praise the Lord. That was the name of the song, praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. And those chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they fall powerless behind you when you praise him. Folks, you can't praise God enough. Praise is more important than me standing up here preaching. Because when you praise God, you are in his presence. You are right there. I mean, you are like, everybody wants to get stuck. God came down and kissed the earth and you wanted to get stuck in a smack. And the smack Folks, that's what happens when we praise him. What do you think the sweet aroma was, the soothing aroma in Genesis 8? It was Noah worshiping God, thanking him for saving them. That's what it was. He made a sacrifice, and it arose to God as a smooth aroma, soothing aroma. I personally think I'd rather have a soothing aroma than a provoking aroma. You know, fear kind of provokes things. Provokes dogs, other animals. We're going to stop there. We will keep moving through it. And, you know, I trust that this week, you know, listen, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you messed up, there is no condemnation. But let me tell you, if you want to fix the problem, repent. Not to God. It wasn't God you hurt. Some people, oh, I got sinned, I got saved, that's all behind me. That's all behind me now. You weren't the only one that got hurt. You weren't the only one that was involved in that. How is it you can say that, well, God forgave me? Yeah, God forgave you, but you need to repent to those that you hurt. I'm not going to teach you a gospel that's going to tell you to just, well, I just put it all under the blood. It's under the blood. No, that's really not under the blood until you've repented of it. There's this thing called repentance of sin, where we mean we're not going back to do it again. Doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. It just means, God, I refuse. I do not want to go back to that. I do not want to act like that anymore. So I'm just going to tell you right now, if that's you, you need to deal with it. Don't pretend that God's going to deal with it. Now, God's part in it is telling you when to go, when to deal with it. As I've told you before, there are times you pray, ask God for the timing, and you'll know in your heart when it's time to go. Amen? All right, let's stand. It got a little too quiet in here. I trust that's because people were thinking. I'd rather send you out of here thinking to make sure that you're right, as opposed to thinking, hey, I'm perfect. I got no problems. God forgave me. It's all under the blood. We walked away from it. No. Nope. Doesn't work quite like that. When you've hurt somebody, you're supposed to go to them. If they don't receive it, that's their problem then. That's why I tell you to pray, because if you pray, God can move at the right time and move on their heart to receive it. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for a day, Lord, filled with your love, filled with your word, filled with your people. Father, I pray that you help us all, that you help us all to identify those areas in which we have not kept the mark, Father, and if we need to repent to somebody because of that, then may we repent to them. And Father, we pray for those today that are sick. Father, we know several people who are out ill. Lord, I thank you and praise you. You're touching them, Lord. You're healing their bodies. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're drying up their lungs, Father. You're causing the coughs to subside. Father, you're clearing their sinuses. And now, Lord God, I thank you for all that you've done in your people, in their midst. Father, I thank you for these people. Lord, I know that it was easy to stay home where it was warm, not drag the kids out, not get themselves out, stay in their pajamas. But Lord, they came out to stir up love within their brothers and sisters. Lord, I bless them. And I pray, Father God, that as they go from here, that your love will travel with them wherever they go, and be seen by all people. In Jesus' name, amen.